This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
So today we're with Dr. Ettore Cariti from CSIRO in Australia today. So you and your team have just published a paper about giant magnetic outflows in the Milky Way. Now, could you sort of explain what these are to our listeners and talk about them for a bit?
These giant outflows we discover are outflow of gas, of charged particles that are coming out from the center of our galaxy, the very center of our galaxy, the Milky Way. And they lift up vertically compared with respect to the plane of our galaxy and goes up and up and up. And they reach far away, about up to more or less the periphery of our galaxy, the outskirts of our galaxy. So it's something which is really huge. They are about 50,000 light years long, and is about half the diameter of our galaxy. So this is the largest structure ever discovered in the galaxy beside the disk of our galaxy itself. So they are really big.
Okay, great. All right, so we've got these big outflows of gas coming out of the plane of the galaxy, so which is a disk and it's quite flat. And so could you explain how you detected these, how you observed them?
We used the Parkes radio telescope down in Australia. So this has been detected in radio waves. So they are not visible lights. And to do that, we need also to use a particular property of the radio waves, the polarization. So in polarization, they are much more contrasty compared to other lights. And so this is what we did. The other thing is important is that one question that we have been always asked, or often asked in these days, has been why so huge structure has not been seen before. And this was because previous observations were done at too low a frequency or too high a frequency. At too low a frequency, these structures are hidden by a phenomenon called Faraday rotation that almost hides the signal from our galaxy. At high frequency, they are too weak, and so they were essentially undetected. So we observed at an intermediate frequency where we were able to overcome both issues, and this unveiled out the signal from the galaxy. And that has been the reason why I've been able to observe these structures.
Okay, so Faraday rotation basically obscures the structure of the outflows at lower frequencies.
They generate what is called a sort of depolarization. So the polarized signal in some way is cancelled out because of a tangle of the polarization angles. So this generates a cancellation of the signal along the line of sight. So when the frequency is too low, this effect is high, and this completely masks the signal from the galaxy. So we can see only structures which are very nearby, but everything which is behind a few, I would say hundreds or few kiloparsecs from us, is hidden, is completely cancelled out.
So you call them magnetized outflows. What is the importance of the magnetic field in these structures?
The magnetic field has been very important because it allows us to measure this property of the structure, but at the same time allows us also to measure the energy involved with this structure. This has been the first time we have been able to measure the entire energy involved with this phenomenon. And this has been impressive because we detected an energy. What we measure has been an energy very high, impressively high. We are talking about it corresponds to the energy of about 1 million exploding stars or supernovae. That's a lot. So this is a massive amount of energy. And this has been essentially possible because we have been able to measure the intensity of the magnetic field.
Where does the large energy of these outflows come from, do you think?
Thanks to our data, we have been able to understand what is the source of this energy. And these are star formation activity, which is happening around the galactic center. So this activity is happening in a very compact region. We are talking about something which is 600 light years across, which is very... 600 light years is a lot in human terms, but is small compared to the size of these outflows. We are talking about something which is 50,000 light years. But in this compact area of the galaxy near to the galactic center, there is a lot of mass available for star formation, and there is a lot of energy also because of the gravitational pull from the galactic center, from the supermassive black hole, which is in the galactic center. And so this makes this area very highly productive in terms of star formation. So there are a lot of gas there, a lot of star formation, a lot of young and massive stars, and so there is a high number of supernova events that happen there, what these geysers, what these outflows are, here essentially is gas which is expelled because of supernova episodes. And it's not just one or two episodes of supernova episodes. It's an ensemble of supernova episodes that that will form these outflows and they will come out.
So it's almost like a continuous explosion of stuff that's coming out of the center of the galaxy.
Not really continuous, but is a sequence of explosions. And the outflows is the sum of the activity, the sum of the effects of these explosions.
Okay.
And something which is interesting about these flows that they look really to winding around in such a way that it is related to the material which is orbiting the galactic center.
And how do these outflows interact with the rest of the galaxy, if they do at all?
I think this is still under investigation because what we have discovered now, we didn't know before then discover this. So what we have discovered now is that there is a massive amount of energy which is generated in this very center of our galaxy and which is spit out into the periphery of the galaxy. So until so far, we were thinking that the galactic halo was a quiet place. Now we know that it is injected with a massive amount of energy. And so I think that now all the interaction between the galaxy and its halo have to be rethought. So, and this for sure is subject of further investigation. So we have just discovered this one, so we have to understand now the implication on the effects on the rest of the galaxy. And the other important thing is that these outflows possess also an enormous magnetic energy and a strong magnetic field. And so it's long time that we know that the galaxy possess a magnetic field, but it's been still a mystery so far how this magnetic field is generated. Now we have something which is a strong magnetic field, with a massive magnetic energy, which is generated at the center of our galaxy and is sent out into the halo, so at the periphery of the galaxy. So for sure there is a connection between this magnetic field, this massive energy, and the magnetic energy, and the galactic magnetic field. This connection has been not yet understood and have to be subject to further investigation, but we suspect that this structure will have a key role in generating and sustaining the magnetic field of our galaxy. Of course, we don't know yet. We will try to understand soon if this is really the case or not.
Plenty more to investigate then. And does this is this sort of outflow phenomenon observed in other galaxies, for example? Have we seen similar things, or is this a completely new thing?
For a galaxy like ours, I would say a large but standard galaxy, so this has been the first time it's been observed. Similar phenomena has been observed in starburst galaxies, so galaxies with a very high rate of star formation, much higher than our galaxy. For example, something similar has been observed in AM82, where from the center of the galaxy is really seen something which is a conical structure that's come out and has been observed both in optical light, which is called H-alpha, that tells us about the presence of a hydrogen, and also in radio emission. It's been observed also the magnetic field from this structure. But it has been observed like cones. Another galaxy where this has been observed is NGC 253. This is another starburst galaxy, so with more activity than ours in terms of star formation. But in this case, has been observed a cone, has been observed something wrapping structure around the galaxy, like very similar to what we observed for our galaxy with our results. Also, in this case, the structure is much smaller, so it rises up from the galactic center only for about a few thousand light years. So it's much smaller than what we observe for our galaxy. We don't know yet if this is smaller because simply there was not enough sensitivity to detect the same signal also at a higher elevation compared to the galactic plane of that galaxy, or simply because that is a smaller structure. But yes, so it has been observed also in other external galaxies.
Okay.
I like to say that there's always something unexpected in astronomy and science, because, for example, even a such large structure, we're talking about 120 degrees in sky. So if it would be visible in visible light, would it be something which is go across the sky for more than half a way across the sky? So, and these things of science, there is always something new to discover has been not seen before. And why this has been discovered? Simply because we had the idea to explore a new space of parameters at a frequency and at a special, using a property of the light not used before. And this has allowed us to explore the galaxy with a different perspective and assure us that it was impossible to see from other perspective. Anytime you explore and you do science, explore a new space of parameter, there's always great chances of something surprising, new discovery, something surprising that you wouldn't expect at all.
In relation to that, have there been any hints of these structures at different frequencies? Or different
these are the counterpart of something which was observed a couple of years ago in gamma ray, the so-called Fermi bubbles. The same structure was observed in another radiation, so in gamma rays, thanks to observation done with the NASA Space Telescope, Gamma Ray Space Telescope Fermi. They are more or less the same extension, so what we see is the counterpart of this gamma ray emission. The big difference that with their data it was not possible to understand the entire energetics involved with these structures. So in gamma ray, it was possible to say, oh, they should be associated with the center of our galaxy because it was projected toward the center of our galaxy. Well, with our data, we can also estimate, have some information about the distance. So in our case, we can say these structures not only are projected toward the center of the galaxy, but are really at the distance of the center of the galaxy. We know that they are there, far away from us. That the things that without our data, it was impossible to disentangle between possible different explanation of the origin of this structure. It was still highly debated. It was due to the activity jets from the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy, so a sort of quasar-like outburst activity of the supermassive black hole of our galaxy, or it was generated by the star formation activity around the galactic center. So with our data, we can tell that our data supports strongly that it is due to star formation activity around the center of our galaxy.
So what would the next step be with regards to observations of these giant outflows?
The next step will be to observe at a higher frequency because exactly the connection on these lobes, on these outflows, we have also discovered some substructure, interesting substructure, sort of ridge-like structure, very highly collimated, and they extend from more or less the galactic center up high into these lobes. Our idea is that these structures are direct outflow from individual superstellar clusters. So it's not from the general star formation happening around the galactic center, but from individual superstellar clusters which are orbiting the galactic center. We know these superstellar clusters are orbiting the galactic center and are exactly in that position. So our idea is that these ridges are direct outflows from this superstellar cluster, but we have not been able with our data to trace them back exactly down to the galactic center area, understanding what is the foot point of these ridges. This is because of still a bit of depolarization which is happening in very close to the galactic center. And so what we want to do is to observe this structure at higher frequency and see if there is a real connection and see if there is we can identify the foot point of these ridges and see if there is really an individual. It's the superstellar cluster that is emanating them. We have a few candidates we want to explore and to see.
To find out more detail. Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Kreti, for your time.
Thank you, and thank you for having given me the opportunity to explain the results.